bless you for standing. You may be seated. If you'll allow me for a few moments to remind us of what we should be doing, start and beginning, if you will. Please understand I'm not saying this to be mean, but when we're done practicing in the Sunday morning with the music, ushers or men, if you could kind of shut those doors, and we need to make the sanctuary a house of prayer. If you want to talk and converse, you can do that in the foyer. You can go downstairs, but right before service, as the music stops, I want the sanctuary to be reverent, and I want us to be serious about what we're doing. And if you need to talk and do that stuff, well, do it somewhere else. The sanctuary needs to be a place where we come together and get our mind on the things of God. And so, ushers, if you could help us when the music practice ends, we'll begin bringing those doors together and just obviously leave a space for people to walk to and from. But if you're here in the sanctuary, I'd ask that you to be praying or at least be quiet. And if you need to talk and converse, I'm not telling you can't do that. I would just ask you not to do it here in the sanctuary. And so you have been forewarned. And so if I come to you and you're talking in the sanctuary and you should be praying or be quiet, and I say, hey, could you take that somewhere else? Please don't get mad at me. I'm just following up on what my wishes are in regards to the church and in regards to what needs to take place here before service. And then in between services, obviously, we would ask the same. In between our two sessions, I know there's a lot going on. There's people moving back and forth. But if we could, as much as possible, be reverent, that this is the sanctuary, this is the house of God. One place in Scripture where I find where Jesus was uncharacteristically upset was when they were not doing what they should have been doing in the house of God. And so let's make sure that we're preparing our hearts and our minds and doing what we need to do. Am I okay? Not upset at me? Well, if you would affirm that, why don't you stand to your feet? Grab your Bibles. Focus verse for this morning is found in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 13. Lesson topic for this morning is security in God. Our security in God. Ephesians 1, 13 reads like this, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You may be seated. Going on in a lesson text, I'd like to read from Psalms chapter 91, begin reading in verse number 1, very familiar passage to many of us, the 91st Psalm. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the security that we have in you. God, let us once again be reminded, God, in our walk in relationship with you, the things that we question, Lord. But let us not question our security in you. God, let us not question, God, you're able to keep, God, and you're able to preserve, God, and to seal us with the Holy Spirit of promise. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Everybody said amen. Focus thought for the lesson this morning is that God seals us with his Holy Spirit of promise, and we are secure in him. I am glad to know that I don't have to constantly waver. I don't have to constantly wonder. I don't have to constantly think, well, am I saved or am I not saved? Now, please understand, I am not going to preach a doctrine of eternal security. There is a such thing as becoming apostate. There is a such thing as falling away. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. But for those of us who are striving, for those of us who are endeavoring to walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we spend way too much time concerned with trying to maintain something that God says, I'm going to preserve. If you read in the Greek, that word sealed, it means this. It means to properly seal or to affix with a signet ring or other instrument to stamp, i.e. with a roller or a seal, to attest ownership, authorizing or validating what is sealed. I need to recognize and understand that when I come to God and I am filled with His Spirit, that there is a seal that is placed upon my life, identifying Him as the owner, identifying Him as the one who has authority and right and rule in my life, and I don't have to worry from day to day whether or not I'm going to make heaven my home. About as a kid, you remember doing things as a kid where you would, in essence, kind of make bargains with God. Or you would ask the Lord when it was dark and you were scared of the dark, Lord, just let me fall asleep and wake up in the morning and everything will be all right. And you made these bargains as a child, and maybe even as we grow older in our adult life, we do the same. We offer this kind of quid pro quo, you know, God, if you do this, and then I'll do that, and then let's bargain, let's work this out, let's make sure that this thing is what it should be, God. But really what we're doing is we're trying to strike bargains, rather, with offering something that God has already given. He's already given us. And as if we're going to earn something that He's already provided for us. He's already made for us a way of escape. He's already in our lives and in our hearts. He's sealed us. He's made it possible for us to make heaven our home. So we don't have to waver. We don't have to wonder. And quite honestly, I think that a lot of us spend too much time in that maintenance mentality where we're trying, and I believe in repentance, and I believe in coming before God, and I believe in confession, I believe in those things. But you need to understand that when it comes to standing before God, it is not what I do that makes me righteous. Say with me. We are not alone. There are clues in the Bible that indicate those first century believers had some concerns about their security. There are verses which show us that they wondered themselves, how they questioned. The Bible lets us know, Jude 1:24, that Jude tells them, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of God, his glory with exceeding joy. Listen, when I make it, and I have every intention of making, but when I make it, I need to understand it's not going to be based upon my own merit. It's not going to be based upon my ability to live a sinless life, because I can't. I will not stand before Him in my own ability or in my own righteousness or in my own worthiness. I will not. I will stand before Him in the revelation and understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from sin. No one in the first century church had been concerned about the loss of salvation. Jude telling them that there's someone able to keep them from falling would not have been necessary. We all, at times, I would say, how many of you since coming to God, I'm not asking you to show your hands, but just think about it. How many of you since coming to God have never questioned whether or not you were saved? It's a part of our humanity, Will. It's a part of that struggle. It's a part of that process. It's a part of that, well, am I doing everything right? Well, guess what? No, you're not. And neither am I. And neither is anybody else. I'm not making excuses. I am not saying that we just, you know, just sin because we're inevitably going to sin. That's not what I'm saying. We strive and we press and we endeavor with everything within us to keep from sinning and to keep from doing those things that are wrong. But the Bible tells us if a man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus. Not based upon my own merit. I will never stand before God in judgment with my own ability as reason for why I should be in heaven. Never. Not possible. Look at what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Some points we need to consider that arise from these verses Paul wrote the Corinthian church. First, it is the understanding that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of what he did for us that makes salvation possible. It is the understanding that it is the work of Jesus Christ which makes salvation possible for me, not my own works. I could never attain salvation by what I do. But thankfully, he did for me by what he did. That is the good news. That is the gospel. That is the understanding. That is what Jesus explained to them upon his resurrection. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. By his work and by what he did, did any of you, or any of us rather, have any security of salvation? I don't lock or unlock that door. It's a beautiful thing to understand that that is the work of Jesus Christ. He made that possible for me. Another thing is, because Christ died for our sins, we no longer have a sin problem. We don't sin? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the debt of sin has been paid. And so sin shall not have dominion over us. Why? Because he took dominion over sin. Christ condemned sin in the flesh and made for you and I a new and living way, a better covenant. And my security is now, not in what I do, but in what he did. And the reality of the salvation that he provided for each and every one of us is through him. The Bible says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 1:4. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Herein is love, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's 1 John 4:10. What about Romans 3:25? Whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Paul's reference here to sins that are past is to sins committed before Christ's work on the cross. It does not mean the blood of Christ cleanses us only from sins we commit before we come to him in faith. That's not what it means. It means that I've said this many times, it is past, present, and future. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. My security is not in my ability to live a sinless life. It is in my ability to serve a sinless Savior. It is in my ability to understand of what he did for me. That's where my security comes from. Third, to understand that those who believe and obey the gospel are saved. And this saving faith is not a mere mental assent, but it is an active obedience. I show you my faith by my works. I do what I do because I am saved by Jesus Christ. I don't do what I do to maintain security. He maintains security for me by doing what he did, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. My security has and will always be in Jesus Christ. Security is in him. Fourth, though the salvation of those who continue to believe or keep in memory, as the Bible says, the gospel is secure. It is the understanding that salvation, being saved, making heaven my home, is something, according to the Word of God, according to what I read, that if I fall away from the faith and I fall away from believing that my security is in Jesus Christ, and I say that that stuff is no effect, and I say there's no reason for any of that, and I become apostate, that there is a possibility of falling away. As long as I'm believing, as long as I'm keeping in memory, as long as I'm coming to God and I'm confessing and I'm understanding that his blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness, as long as I'm endeavoring to live and walk the walk, guess what? I have security in Jesus Christ. But I say it this way, there's a lot of people who have backslid who don't need to backslide. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Somehow they've allowed the enemy to convince them they can't do it, that they can't live for God, that they can't make, and guess what? So they just give up. What does that giving up do? It attests that they don't have faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ. It attests that they don't believe that what he did for them is sufficient. It attests that they don't truly understand his blood cleanses them from all unrighteousness. And so they just go the way of the world. A lot of people that today are backslid who don't need to be backslid. What they need to do is just come to God and say, I'm human and I make mistakes and I fail. And I'm sorry I let those failures and I'm sorry I let those mistakes pull me away from relationship with you. Because as long as I keep relationship with you and as long as I come back and I confess and I allow you to do the work in my life, I'm secure. I have security in you. The extent that we embrace the good news of the gospel, we will sense the security of our salvation. But if we think assurance of salvation depends on anything other than Christ's work on our behalf, it's then we start to experience questions. We start measuring ourselves by ourselves. If we start, well, the Bible says, don't do those people that do those things are not wise. To try, as Brother Volan spoke a few weeks ago, to morally equivocate, to kind of find out, well, I'm better than them, or they, listen, that's a fool's game. The reality is we're all broken, in need of a Savior, and we all need one who came and made our calling and election able to be sure, not in and of ourselves, but in his work. We stand before God, it will not be based upon our own ability, as I stated earlier, to live a sinless life, but it will be based upon our ability to have the blood of Jesus applied to us, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. There are other ways that we understand that security comes. There are other ways that you and I can solidify and attest to our understanding of our security and our walk in relationship with God. And one of those ways is by the church. God has set up a divine structure, if you will, that makes possible for you and I to be secure. I want you to say it this way. Please. This is not in any way or shape demeaning my walk in relationship with God. But I need more than just my walk in relationship with God. I need brothers and sisters. I need a church. I need a body. I need the body of Christ.
I need people to support me and to help me and to lift me up and encourage me. I need my brothers and sisters. I need the family, the household of God. It helps me find security. Romans 5. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It is what Jesus has done for us. And then Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And if Christ is the head and the church is the body, we need the body of Jesus Christ. If he's the head and it starts with him and it's by him we have security, it is the understanding that it is his body which aids in that security. Sure, that not only we have been saved through Jesus Christ, but that we can remain saved. God has placed in his church gifts to believers, people with talents and opportunities, people who will help us mature spiritually so that we're not moved, so that we're not questioning, so that we're not wondering. And let me just stop here and say this. As an agent, if you will, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I better make sure that when I'm interacting with brothers and sisters, it's a good filter to have and think, is what I'm going to say going to help them secure their walking relationship with God, or is what I'm going to say have them doubt their walking relationship with God? How I'm going to interact with them and how I'm going to counsel them or how I'm going to spend time in trying to lead them. Is it going to be in such a way that it's going to cause them to question? Or is it going to be in such a way that it's going to cause them to consider what Jesus has done for them and why it is sufficient? No matter what they're going through, no matter what they're dealing with. God, help us be the church. Help us be the structure that God has set up to be the body. Look at Acts 20, verses 28 through 30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Careful. Understand that it is God's intent for the body to be protective of the members. Body, the church of the living God, to make sure that we're fighting, that we are overseeing, that we are doing our best to protect one another. Oversee and to, if you will, secure one another, to make one another. It's an honest question. Do I feel secure enough in my walking relationship with my brothers and sisters to talk about weaknesses? Do I feel secure enough in their love for me to truly confess things? Man, I got real quiet in here. Do I feel secure enough in this family that I can tell them absolutely anything and they're still going to love me and they're going to help me? Because if we don't have that, there's a lack of security. Catch this. If we don't truly feel the ability to be candid and transparent and confess and talk with one another and help one another, and we're afraid that if I tell them, man, they're going to make me question whether or not I'm going to make heaven my home. If I talk to them about these things I'm dealing with, they're just going to look at me judgmentally, and now I'm going to feel like maybe my brother and my sister don't love me, and if they don't love me, I'm going to question whether or not God loves me. And brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that we are doing our best to help secure one another help one another feel like they belong. And that there's a body of believers that are here for their protection and for their help. And to see them grow and to see them mature. Christ is the head of the church and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I'll tell you this, the head doesn't want hands fighting against each other. The hands don't want eyes with different vision. The head wants us working together, edifying one another, building up one another. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And not holding the head, from which all the bodies by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. We all mature together, that we all come in the unity of the faith, that we all mature. Encourage one another to grow in our walk and relationship with God. So yes, to some extent, security of our salvation occurs within the context of the church. For the church is Christ's body. There is no suggestion anywhere in the Bible that it is safe to adopt a me and Jesus only attitude. Nowhere. I need you. You need me. We all need Jesus. We need to work together as the body of Jesus Christ to help people feel secure. Yes, there are rules, benefits. There are things, there are borders which define security. Most secure place you can think of, guess what? There's borders, there's walls. There are certain security measures that are taken. There are certain things that are done to make sure that bad stuff stays out. So yes, there are things that God has defined according to his word. There are security structures, if you will, that relate to the church. There are things that are applicable to each and every one of us. There are rules and regulations, if you will, that work to edifying the body, that work to establishing security among us as believers. There is. These things that we do and the things that we participate in, they're not just rules and they're not just rituals. There are things which help us define what secures us and makes us who we are. Yes, as it relates to the church, as it relates to you and I, in following the will and the way of God in reference to the church, there are things that God says this needs to be and this is not to be. That's why we got to be careful. We can't just allow any old thing, any old time for any old means. We can't. Has to be a level of security that the body maintains. There has to be certain things. You take about it even in a natural sense. If you and I want to remain healthy, you don't go swimming in the sewer. Well, man, that's a really drastic parallel. Is it? If as the body, I want to maintain health, I want to make sure I'm not going to be inflicted with diseases. Guess what? There are certain measures I'm going to take. There are certain precautions that are going to happen. It's no different in our walking relationship with God. There is a level of security that is maintained by what I do and what I don't do. Because of the influence. Because of how it can negatively affect me. Because it can war against me. our desire that the body is edified, the body is strengthened, that the body matures, not that the body is weakened, not that the body is succumbed to disease, not that the body lets anything in and interacts with anything. No. The body understands that it's integral, it's essential. We maintain security by establishing some things. Certainly, there is a security that is portrayed in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. It is the understanding also that in Him and in His precepts and in His structures and in what He has established, those things I put my trust. I put my trust in the church. You know, one of the ways I put my trust in the church is that right now I have 3 kids that are being taught by other people who are not me. But I trust that those people have enough understanding and have enough wisdom and have enough godliness in their life that they are instructing them in righteousness, that they are And it's good that my kids hear those kind of other voices in their life that are steering them in the right way. And that only happens in reality in the context of a church, of a body of believers that come together. And that's how we are edified one another. We come together and we have split sessions that talk about things that pertain to men and things that pertain to women. Yes, those things are a part of establishing security in our lives, helping us make our calling and election sure. Closing, you can stand to your feet. Please understand, I do know that there is, according to the Word of God, you read, I won't take time to go there, but if you read in Hebrews chapter number 6, there is possible, it's possible for individuals to fall away. So what I'm teaching here this morning is not a doctrine of eternal security. What I'm preaching is that there are ways and there are structures and there are things which God has made accessible to us that keep us secure, that keep us believing, that keep us walking by faith and not by sight. There are things which God has established to help us make our calling and election sure, so we don't have to wonder, so we don't have to waver back and forth. I don't have to question, I messed up, now I'm not going to make heaven my home. No. But there's also that other part. The writer of Hebrews is very specific. It is impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. In other words, as long as these people go on in their apostasy, as long as they say, all that stuff doesn't work, as long as they're living, showing in their daily lives that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient, as long as they have that mindset, it's impossible for you and I to renew them to repentance. It's impossible. At some point, they've got to, just as they turned away from God, just as they turned away from those principles and precepts which help define security in their life and give them an opportunity to make heaven their home, they have to turn away from those thoughts of apostasy and they have to turn away from those things that would cause them to make damnation the reality. And turn back to God. So really, in those scriptures, please understand, you don't rightly divide those words. You think, well, if I mess up, if I backslide, it's impossible to come back to God. That's not what that verse is saying. What that verse is saying is if you become apostate, he If you go so far as to believe that none of this is true and that it didn't work and that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient, you crucify him afresh. No effect. Yes, then there is falling away, damnation. But for you and I who are living, you and I who are endeavoring, even though we can experience doubt, and even though we can experience questions, and even though we can consider sometimes, and even though we can, through conviction, correct some things in our life, we don't have to worry about our eternal security. We're sealed. But the Holy Spirit of promise, by faith, when we believe and we trust, and I understand it's not about me and what I do, it's about him and what he did. I have security in Jesus Christ, and heaven is my home. Lord Jesus, we love you. And I'm thankful to know that in you, not in of myself, not based upon my own doing, in you can I stand before God and be righteous. In you, in the blood that was shed, for all the sins of the world, do I have opportunity to be righteous, to be holy, to be perfect, to be blameless, God, to be presented unto you without fault, justified just as if I never sinned, God. Not in and of myself, but only through you do I have that opportunity. Only through you is it possible. And in you, I find hope. In you, I find security. In you, I don't have to question. In you, I don't have to wonder. In you, I don't have to waver. God, I can understand. I can be secure in who I am in you. And heaven is my rightful home. Not because of me, but because of you. Lord, I want to take opportunity this morning to bow my knee, God. Bow my head in grateful understanding of the security that I have in you and in your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you, God. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. These altars are open. Why don't you take an opportunity as music begins to play? Why don't you take an opportunity to thank God for his goodness? Let's make this house a house of prayer, whether it's here at the front or whether it's at your pew. As I asked you earlier, if you need to converse, please find some place to do it, else to do it, not here in the sanctuary. Let this place be a place where we are offering gratitude for the goodness of God and the security that we have in him. Hallelujah. To the highest mountain, and your glory is found.